Hello, everyone. Welcome to Shaka Presents Movie Night. Got a little hiccup there. I'm your host. My name is Rudy Obias, and joining me is...
Perry Nemiroff.
Yes, and this episode we're going to talk about the 85th Academy Awards. We did an episode on the nominations a couple of weeks ago, and now we're doing an episode on the actual ceremony itself. Perry, what did you actually think of the ceremony as a whole before we actually get into the categories? Do you think Seth MacFarlane did a good job?
No, not really. It felt a little funny. It felt too much like the Tonys, and it was kind of boring. It wasn't very funny. And also, it's probably worse because this year the Golden Globes happened to be so good. Like, it wasn't just, like, a good awards ceremony. It was a good show, period. That was a really entertaining night. And this, you know, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't nearly as good as that.
No, and it was strange that Seth MacFarlane pointed that out really early on, I guess telling the audience to lower your expectations because it wasn't going to be anywhere near the Golden Globes. Surprisingly, anywhere near the Golden Globes.
Yeah, and he was right.
and hopefully next year they get Tina Fey and Amy Poehler to host the Oscars, because I think that would be great.
I think they should take that really seriously. Like, everyone's kind of just saying it as a joke almost, but... That could really make the difference.
Totally, totally. And especially, I remember that bit during the Golden Globes that Amy Poehler did with George Clooney. And just imagine that, what they could do with the Oscars in that way. How many more celebrities are at the Oscars than the Golden Globes?
Exactly.
I am a little mixed on Seth MacFarlane. I thought his opening, monologue or opening of the Oscars was a little long. And perhaps they could have cut 10 minutes out of that thing. I mean, I'm a big Seth MacFarlane fan. I still watch Family Guy to this day. And I watch American Dad. I think I love Ted. I thought Ted was a great film from last year. And it was a bit hit or miss, but it really did feel like a Family Guy episode to me. Like, all the jokes really seem like Family Guy, like jokes you would have on an episode of Family Guy, even with cutaways and pop culture references. I mean, I think that bit they did with The Sound of Music to introduce Christopher Plummer, that was my favorite part of Seth MacFarlane's hosting the Oscars.
It's almost like his voice that gives me that feeling too. Like, even just, like, no matter what he says, I kind of get a Family Guy bug in my head.
Yeah, Ted totally felt like Family Guy. I mean, I like Family Guy, so I just enjoy his shtick. And I mean, it's definitely not the best ceremony, but it did move along, even though it was a 3.5-hour-long ceremony. I think it's a lot better than last year with Billy Crystal and 2 years ago with Anne Hathaway and James Franco.
I guess. But this year it felt – a lot of times I never knew what was going on. Like, they would cut to some sort of video montage or a joke, or even when people were introducing a list of nominees to present an award, a lot of times I had no clue what was going on. Like, when Paul Rudd and Melissa McCarthy were up there, it was like, what were they talking about? Like, how did that get to where they ended up?
And then it went on forever. It seemed like it went on forever, and it was just so awkward.
It was painful, that one.
And even the stuff with when they brought the Avengers on the stage, that was kind of weird. It seemed like they all checked out a minute into their routine.
Their little bit was a little long too. They were kind of just standing up there awkwardly for, I mean, it had to have been 5 full minutes.
Yeah, and just like, here are the Avengers, you know, remember this movie? I think all the musical performances, I mean, I did really appreciate just seeing Catherine Zeta-Jones do her Chicago thing. I like Chicago quite a bit, but I really didn't understand, like, the rhyme or reason why celebrating musicals, or at least musicals in the past 10 years, why that was, I guess, so prevalent throughout the whole night.
That made absolutely no sense whatsoever. And, I mean, I have a little thing against Catherine Zeta-Jones right now, but I don't even think her performance was that great. I mean, she was lip-syncing, it was kind of clear, and she was just... I don't know. She was just trying too hard. And then she's just completely upstaged by Jennifer Hudson, who was a million and one times better. And then that Les Mis thing was just really cool.
Yeah, that Les Mis thing was cool. But I just didn't understand why only focus on the musicals of the past 10 years when so many better musicals like West Side Story and Singing in the Rain, that was like in the 60s and the 50s. It was very strange, and I guess also having Barbara Streisand sing.
Why focus on musicals at all? That's what the Tonys are for.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of ways to really bring the evening down when it really did seem like it was going at a good pace.
I mean, the only point of doing some sort of musical performance should be singing a song from a show that's nominated, from a movie that's nominated. That's it. I mean, the Les Mis thing I thought was really nice. I kind of liked how all the song, everything was cut together and everyone got to participate in all that. But, I mean, it should be left at, you know, nominees and that's it.
Definitely. Definitely. Especially since last year there were only two nominees for Best Original Song and they didn't perform any of them.
Yeah, that was strange too. That was disappointing. That's like the polar opposite of what we have now. We've got too much and last year was none at all and we missed it.
Yeah, and I don't even believe that they performed all the original songs. I think they only did Ted, Skyfall, and perhaps a little bit from Les Mis, but it was like a big medley.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into, I guess, the categories themselves. How well did you do picking the Oscars?
I did pretty well. I got 20 out of 24, but I guess that's if you don't include the fact that there were two for what category again?
For sound editing.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I did not predict that, so maybe I got 20 out of 25.
I got 20 out of 24. I mean, who did you have for sound mixing? I picked Life of Pi, and that did not win.
I had, I'm looking at my ballot.
And
I had Les Mis.
No, in sound editing.
Sound editing, I had Zero Dark Thirty.
Oh, so you got one right
there.
Yeah. Listeners, that was the category that tied Zero Dark Thirty and Skyfall won the sound editing Oscar. I picked Life of Pi, the one movie that didn't get the tie. But I think outside of everything else, I pretty much nailed it. I missed the documentary short subject. I picked Open Heart instead of Innocente, and I didn't pick the Django Unchained. I did not pick. A big surprise to me was Christoph Waltz winning Best Supporting Actor.
Oh, I got that. I wanted him to win so badly. That's like one of the few that I really wanted. Like, I wanted him to win, and it actually happened. Like, if I had picked all the... if I had voted in my Oscar pool, like, I wanted the awards to be doled out, I would have been, like, God in the single digits.
You willed Christoph Waltz to win the supporting actor.
I stuck with that one.
That was the one category I was struggling with before the evening. I had Tommy Lee Jones and I had Robert De Niro. Then I would go back and forth between the two, and I did not even consider Christoph Waltz at all. I honestly thought it was going to be between De Niro and Tommy Lee Jones. And I like Christoph Waltz quite a bit in Django Unchained, but that was one that really threw me off. The other one that threw me off as well was Quentin Tarantino winning Django Unchained. I don't even think he expected to win the Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay.
Oh no, I picked it. I feel like it's about time, and like people knew it.
Yeah, I mean, he did win one for Pulp Fiction, but I guess that was all the way back in 94.
Quite a while ago already.
Yeah, I picked a more in that category, and those were like the two ones that I really thought it was going to go the other way, but it went for Django Unchained, and that kind of really, I mean, I was so close to getting it perfect, and I think this is the closest I've ever been predicting the Oscars in my entire life, getting 20 out of 24. Outside of that, Best Adapted Screenplay went to Argo, and I had that down. I thought that was a lock. And I don't think there was any other big surprises. I mean, I picked Ang Lee for director for Life of Pi. Who did you pick?
For director, I ended up picking Spielberg.
Ah. And I think that was the biggest surprise, that Lincoln hardly got anything. I think it was nominated for 11 or 12 Oscars, and I think it only really got two.
Yeah, I think that is all it got. And what did Zero Dark Thirty get?
I think Zero Dark Thirty just got one. Got the sound editing.
Sound, yeah, and that was it.
I thought that was really strange that the two movies that everyone thought was at the end of last year that thought was going to be the lock for Best Picture only walked away with one and two Oscars, respectively.
I kind of wanted Beast of the Southern Wild to take something.
That's also surprising as well. That did not get any awards.
I don't think that's surprising. I kind of knew it wasn't going to get anything, but I don't know. I kind of wanted it to be the underdog and get at least one.
Did it win any Spirit Awards? Because it seemed like that movie was primed to win some Spirit Awards.
I don't even think it won Spirit Awards, actually.
Huh. That's a strange one. Yeah, I believe most of the Spirit Awards went to Silver Linings Playbook, which actually...
Yeah, I think you're right.
And it seemed like the smaller movie, Beast of the Southern Wild, that seems like the movie that probably should have won a lot more Spirit Awards than anything. Silver Linings Playbook really didn't get much awards either. It was nominated for four Oscars in the four main acting categories, and only Jennifer Lawrence walked away with a...
That was bound to happen, though. I mean, the other ones were kind of just in there to be in there. They didn't really have a shot.
Yeah, that was actually one of the best parts of the night, Jennifer Lawrence winning the Oscar.
God.
That was so great.
And you need to watch that interview she did in the press room after. It's one of the funnier things I've seen in a really long time.
Yeah, I remember the morning after, yesterday morning actually, how my RSS feed was nothing but Jennifer Lawrence gifts from the Oscars. I liked, she tripped and fell. I mean, you know, that was a good moment, I guess, but she recovered pretty well. And it was a pretty short speech, surprisingly. I mean, I'm not sure if she expected to win. Because she didn't seem to have anything prepared. But overall, I think that was one of my favorite parts of the night.
Yeah, when she fell, it's just, when she does awkward things like that, it's just funny. She's kind of like the classier version of Kristen Stewart. Like, they have that same, you know, I'm so awkward attitude, but whereas Kristen Stewart looks like she's in pain and miserable all the time, Jennifer Lawrence is just like, has fun with it. She just laughs about everything and in doing that, she's also respectful at the same time, which is key. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't like her as much.
Yeah, that's a good point. That she is just as awkward, I guess, as Kristen Stewart, but she's definitely more inviting and warm than Kristen Stewart. it seems like at this moment, Jennifer Lawrence can do no harm to anyone with her awkwardness. I find it awesome that this big movie star is awkward as hell in front of everyone.
Like, if anyone fell, it was going to be her. And I love that it was her.
I think a disappointment for me, even though I had this picked for best animated feature, Brave winning. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Brave. I think it's an all right film. I really wanted Paranorman to win, but I knew the Oscar voters were going to go for Brave.
Yeah, I picked Brave too, wanted Paranorman, and if Paranorman didn't win, I would have rather have seen Frankenweenie or Wreck-It Ralph take it over Brave. Kind of disappointed that Brave did.
Yeah, I was disappointed that Brave won, but it was kind of like the inevitable thing. And if there was like a second contender, I mean, I wanted Paranorman to win. I think Frankenweenie probably would have been there in second place because I think the Academy just wants to give an Oscar to Tim Burton. I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Frankenweenie. I was a bigger fan of Paranorman this past year.
Yeah. I wish that got more awards. I mean, they're doing fine, though. Like, that studio is going to keep making movies, so the nomination was really all they needed, but...
Yeah, and Paper Man won Best Short Feature, which I was very happy about. I believe that played in front of Wreck-It Ralph this past year. And I think Skyfall won Best Original Song. I think everyone had that picked.
Yep.
And Best Original Score, I had Life of Pi. What did you have in that category?
Best Original Score. Man, I wish you told me we were doing this. I would have brought my paper ballot.
It's the power of editing.
Score, I chose Pi.
Yeah, I picked that one as well. I guess the only other thing is Roger Deakins did not win for Skyfall. I think this is like maybe his 24th time he was nominated for an Academy Award and did not win.
Skyfall either.
Yeah, I picked Life of Pi in that.
Yeah, that was a given.
And I think it's the point deserving. I like Skyfall quite a bit. I love the photography of Skyfall, but I don't know. Life of Pi is by far photographed more beautifully, I think, than Skyfall.
I would definitely agree.
And I think I had Les Mis for makeup and Les Mis for sound mixing because of all the live singing. I thought mm-hmm. that had the upper hand, and
I missed it for makeup. That was the first one I think I got wrong too.
What did you have for makeup?
I chose The Hobbit.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Which ones did you miss then?
I missed. Oh man, you're gonna make me backtrack like that. I missed The Hobbit. I missed director. I missed. Oh my God, what else did I miss? I think I missed documentary short. I did. I missed that. I picked Open Heart.
Yeah, I picked Open Heart too, and I missed that one.
And what's the fourth one that I missed? I don't know what it is.
For me, the ones I missed was sound editing, original screenplay, best supporting actor, and what?
What'd you pick for original screenplay?
Amour.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And what else did I pick? Oh, and short documentary. And everything else I got correct.
I cannot believe I can't find the one that I missed. You know, it might have been production design. I don't think I picked Lincoln.
I picked Lincoln for that one, surprisingly. I actually had...
I picked Les Mis.
I had Les Mis, but then I changed it to Lincoln because I think the production design... is a little bit more exacting that in Lincoln than it was in Les Mis.
Well, yeah, I'll give that to you, but I did think Les Mis was going to take it.
I had Les Mis for costume design, but then I thought, well, I think they're going to give some to Anna Karenina somewhere down the line.
Oh, yeah. Despite hating Anna Karenina, I still picked it for costume design.
Hate is such a strong word. It's a great movie.
It was in my worst of 2012. I think it deserves that word.
How dare you?
I know.
And then lastly, for Best Picture, I had Argo. I don't think there was any surprise there that
not
this was going to win. What did you think of George not George Clooney, Ben Affleck's speech? George Clooney did not speak at all.
I liked it. I thought it was nice and simple and, like, candid enough. I mean, I appreciate it when they get up there and they're, like, prepared to the T and, like, respectful of it. But at the same time, I like when it's a little more natural, and that felt, you know, natural, heartfelt. And I mean, the guy's given how many speeches over the past few months?
Yeah. Well, it seemed like he was really excited. I mean, I really liked the moment when he mentioned the last time he won an Oscar for Good Will Hunting back in 1997. And he just him saying, I never thought I was going to be back on this stage winning this award again. And I guess, that now being a little bit older than when he won it for Good Will Hunting, how much more he could appreciate the accomplishment. I really liked Ben Affleck's speech. It seemed like they really emphasized the fact that it was one of the best directed movies of the year, and how Ben Affleck was not even nominated for director.
Yeah,
so that was a nice little jab.
It was kind of nice. I tend to root for the underdog, so the fact that, you know, he could kind of stick it to the Academy and take home all of these awards at every show. It's something about that is kind of nice.
And hopefully Ang Lee, this is Ang Lee's second director award, and I think he definitely deserves it. Hopefully one of these days, one of his movies will win Best Picture, because Life of Pi did not win Best Picture, and Brokeback Mountain did not win Best Picture back in 2005.
What beat Brokeback?
Crash.
Ah, yes, yes. Oh, do I remember that?
Yeah, Ang Lee won for Brokeback Mountain and then Crash won for Best Picture. That is a travesty. Anything else you want to talk about with the 85th Academy Awards?
Just to go look up the list of, you know, the behind the scenes things you didn't see. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them online, and I feel like because the ceremony itself wasn't all that fun, that's kind of the best part of it now.
Yeah. I didn't really watch much of the red carpet, but Kristen Chenoweth. Is that how you pronounce her name?
Chenoweth.
Yes. She's fantastic and lovely. And I guess I wish I would have seen more of the red carpet.
And teeny tiny. I think BuzzFeed has a really good list up, and it's like moments you missed, I think. And there's like a photo of Kristen Chenoweth standing next to Adele, and the way that the camera is angled and the two of them are positioned, Kristen Chenoweth looks like she must be like 3 feet tall.
I mean, she is really adorable. It feels like if I ever meet her, I just want to pick her up and give her a hug. But I'm sure she gets that quite a bit.
And she might be creeped out.
Oh, I wouldn't care. It's about me having my moment, not the other way around. All right, well, I guess let's wrap up this episode of Movie Night. I think overall this Oscar ceremony was all right, better than most, definitely better than last year, and I'm happy how most everything shook out in terms of who won and who didn't, and I'm very happy that I got 20 out of 24 correct. One year I will get all 24 correct. Where can we find you online, Perry Nemiroff?
You could find me at shocky.com, movies.com, screenrant.com, and on Twitter. My handle is P. Nemiroff.
And you can follow me on Twitter as well at twitter.com/Rudy_Obias. That's RUDIE_OBIAS. Shakya.com, AutorCast.com, GiantFreakingRobot.com, and everything that is Rudy at RudyObias.com. And on the next episode of Movie Night, we're going to be discussing Jack the Giant Slayer, the new film from Bryan Singer, which kind of just seems like a precursor for X-Men. Seems like that's why people are only interested in this movie, because he's going to do X-Men as his next movie. We're going to be discussing that, and hopefully that will be a good one. So closing out this episode of Movie Night, thank you so much for listening to our show, and we'll get you next week.